Welcome to Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101, episode number 47. We are so close to episode number 50, just three away. And it's been an exciting and awesome journey. The year is coming to a close, and this podcast has been consistently bringing you content from youth leaders, youth experts, from all sorts of levels, different backgrounds, and different viewpoints. I hope you've been learning as much as I have and really been enjoying this journey as much as I have. So sometimes people ask me, where do you find these leaders to come on your podcast? And basically all I can say is I just keep my eyes open to seeing who is making a real difference in their conference, their communities, their churches, their unions, or whatever level you want to signify that as, but basically just seeing who's making a difference. That's why I wanted to talk with Sister Alexandra and really talk about intentional planning for youth and young adults. We talk about Yaha, and it becomes a very interesting, powerful, heated conversation, and we hope you can enjoy it, and so check it out. All right, everyone, and welcome to Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101. I am sitting tonight with Sister Alexandra. How are you doing today, Sister?
Hello, hello. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing all right. So it's going to be an interesting topic and an interesting conversation. So let's just start off by asking you if you could give a short bio about yourself and what you're doing in ministry.
I guess my bio will be really, really short. Currently, I am one of the AY coordinators for the Queens area over at Greater New York Conference. So shout out to GNYC. And also I've been working within the Haitian community within both conferences, because I've done some things with Northeastern, I've done some things with Greater New York, with the Haitian community. And I just genuinely care about the young people and the young adults. And I kind of wish we had more, how would I say this? We were more appreciated, if you will. But, you know, so yeah, that's pretty much it.
Wow. that's why I love talking with youth and young adult leaders, especially in the Haitian community, because I know it so well. And man, do I sometimes it feels like, I would say, even though I know that it's not about the thank yous and about the praise and all that stuff, sometimes you can get a feeling of a little bit of resentment, because it's like, I don't even want a thank you in the sense of acknowledgement or to boost my ego up, but it's more like, can we at least acknowledge what is being done for our young people so that they can say, you know what? If Eric leaves or steps down, we need to have someone who will step up and continue this work.
Absolutely.
That's what I've always felt. So when you said appreciated more, I know where you're coming from.
Right. Oh. And even beyond that, I mean, just appreciating the young people that are not just the young people in general, like within the church, and just allowing them to have a voice, you know, to that aspect, I think, forget me as a leader, is just allow the young people to let them be seen a little bit, you know?
Yes, please. And that's what I'm doing here with this podcast. I hope to highlight many, many, many youth and young adult leaders and show what they're doing.
You're doing an amazing job.
Oh, thank you. So let's get into it. We met at, I believe it was last year.
Yes.
2018, Yaha. And for those who don't know, Yaha stands for Young Adventist Haitians in America. It's the term that the Haitian Seventh-day Adventist churches really mention for youth and young adults in the Haitian church, especially those who were born here in America. So their parents most likely were immigrants from Haiti. So we are
second generation, but basically we were born and raised here, and that's the term we use for us. And they have a convention called Yaha, and last year they had one around Labor Day weekend last year, and that's where we met. And
yes,
let's talk about that event. Okay. So I'll give it off first to you. What do you think about Yaha, and especially how it was last year?
Okay, so I guess I'll answer the question in two parts. So what I think about Yaha, the idea behind it, I think it's amazing. I think just having just a network, if you will, or just a space where us young Adventist Haitians can come together and just network, meet each other, pray together, make new friends, fellowship. I think the concept and the idea is amazing. I think it's beautiful, and I definitely think it's something that's needed. And I hope that it doesn't die out. As far as how Yaha went, to be transparent in comparison to previous years, I think it could have been much better. In many different aspects. I mean, it went well. Don't get me wrong. It went very, very well. I know many of the young people that were there that did attend some of the seminars. A lot of our leaders who were there that attended the seminars, they walked away with a lot of ideas to take to their churches. However, I do feel that planning and some of the activities that were there or lack thereof would have made the experience much better for the young people that were there, who it was originally intended for.
Okay. Going into the planning aspect, I think what I've heard, I don't know if you agree with the statement, is something that you've have been saying a lot. And I think Yahasta has to really be cognizant and aware of that. And that we need to make sure that when we're planning something for youth and young adults, that youth and young adults have their voices heard. Is that something that you think that happened with Yaha, or something that we should have done better with in that terms?
I would say I fall in the middle with that, because some aspects of Yaha were catered, you know, were with the young people in mind. And then other aspects just weren't. And I think, I don't necessarily blame anyone, but I think a lot of that comes with that, what I was saying earlier, in the sense of where you have your gamun, you know, or your previous generation rather, mm-hmm. who unfortunately, where the young people doesn't have a voice. You know, okay. So a lot of things that could have been included, as I mentioned earlier, that should have been included, were unfortunately neglected because of the different planning committees. And, you know, with events like this, you have, you know, you always have someone to answer to. There's always someone who makes the final decisions and things like that. So many things were out of our hands, okay. in a sense, but I do still feel that the young people could have been heard more when it came to planning.
Okay. Can we be a little specific on what do you think, like what planning do you think was missing for the youth and the young adults?
I think the seminars. I think we could have definitely had seminars that were more so catered to our young people and the things that they're going through this day and age. For example, you have suicide that's running rampant, you have body image issues, you have spiritual issues, spiritual identity issues, you have just identity crises altogether. So I think things like that, just thinking about a few examples, were neglected. And I think these are the kind of topics that should have been covered, which is what was needed.
Wow. Yeah. It's interesting that you said that, because it's something that we've been talking on this podcast a lot about, is what the issues are currently happening with our youth and young adults. And that is, you know, issues such as depression, anxiety, because right. of pressure from society and pressure from the church and our church and our family to be this ideal person and fulfill this checklist that is never ending. And and it's something interesting that I think we need to be talking more about. So here's the thing. There was also a forum that happened where I was a part of it and some other leaders were a part of it and talked about basically the question that we always ask at these events, which is why are the young people leaving the church? And it was interesting to see how adults viewed it versus the youth and young adults. Could you let us know what you think the youth and the young adults were saying about why young people were leaving the church?
Well, not to toot my own horn, but I was the one that was actually leading the forum that night. And I think it was when I looked at, you know, when I looked at how things were going and myself and a couple of the people that were working alongside the forum, it was kind of like this was, we almost felt like this was the only opportunity that the young people and the young adults would have to actually voice their opinions just to put the conversation out there, you know, to make it a little bit more comfortable for us to speak. And one of the things, even when I think about it now, that stuck out to me is that it was the language thing. Everyone is saying it's a language thing. It's a language thing. And you have myself who was born here.
Yes.
You know, I was born in Brooklyn, raised in Queens. But I speak fluent Creole. Mm-hmm. Now, can't do much about French, but I do speak fluent Creole. And a point that was made is just because they don't speak the language does not mean they don't have feelings and emotions. And I say that because a major reason why the young adults and the youth are saying they're leaving the church is because they were hurt. You know? And it's because, you know, when you hear as a young person, they don't need to do this. They don't speak the language. Or you're not proud to be Haitian because you don't speak the language at all. It's almost like you're saying these words that are pretty much stabbing them in the heart. And you're using the language barrier as a way to cover it up. But they no longer feel appreciated because they don't speak the language, they don't feel valued, they don't feel seen. So what happens is once they get to that certain age where they're able to, you know, they have a little bit more liberty, you know, or a little bit more freedom to kind of venture out on their own, it's not that they're leaving church and leaving the religion altogether. They're going to churches where they feel appreciated and they feel valued and they feel, you know, that their presence is there. You know, where it's not just come to church because my parents tell me, or come to church out of tradition and it's just a ritual that I know every Sabbath morning I got to wake up and go to church. It's like they're going to places where they're seen and they're heard and their emotions and their feelings and their needs are being met, you know? And I think a lot of times we forget that church is not just a place where we go to socialize and see old friends. All that is great. But a church is where we go to find answers and healing and to grow spiritually, emotionally, mentally. And if they're not getting that and they're getting the complete opposite, when they become of a certain age, they're going to where that's needed. And then you do have your other small percentage where, you know, they've just seen it so much where they just decide to leave church altogether, unfortunately. But I will say, based off of the forum, many of them are not in that situation. They're just going to American churches or other churches where they're more welcoming and they feel more valued.
It's interesting to me because they love to talk about how there's youth leaving the Haitian churches and going to the American churches like that is a problem when that is not a problem. I've been saying that a ton of times over and over and over again. That is not a problem. The issue is when we lose young people and they leave the church
altogether.
Uh-huh. And we are finding that those who are leaving the church altogether are following under the same criteria as any other statistics that we're finding with studying youth and young adults leaving the church. And it has nothing to do with really language in this sense.
Right.
In this sense that they have been felt ignored, or they have experienced church hurt, or they haven't been introduced to Jesus Christ in a convincing way during their time in the church, and then they leave. So my thing is that I always hear, it's always about the language, it's the language, it's the language. One, if a youth and a young adult leaves a Haitian church and goes to another culture church, I find no issue in that, because they're still in the church.
Right.
And two, the language thing is not French or Creole. The language is, are you talking to your youth and young adults? And that can be in English or in Creole, because right. I found the majority of youth and young adults that I have met in the Haitian churches, they can speak Creole. The one exception is my own testimony. I do not speak it, and I am terrible at it. It took me 20 years to understand it, but I stayed in the church. And the reason why I stayed in the church is because I was given an opportunity to lead and exercise my faith in such a powerful way. It kept me in the church. Even if I didn't understand Creole or French, I stayed in the church. So
absolutely. Absolutely. So, and that's what we fail to understand, that, I mean, like, when we get to heaven, it's not, when we're in heaven, we won't be speaking English, we won't be speaking Creole, Spanish, and we don't know what we'll be speaking. But one thing that we can all agree on coming, it's just compassion and love that comes with, you know, with learning about God. And once you give them that opportunity to lead, you have a greater sense, you know, you feel like there's more to it than just showing up. It's the same. I mean, we all go to the same church, 9:15 to 9:30. There, you know, it's that one lady that's singing for Sabbath school, then 9:30 to whatever is Sabbath school. Then 11, you have personal ministries at 11:30. Divine worship, they go on stage, tithes and offerings, children's. We all go to the same church, but once you get involved and you start working and you begin to learn more about God yourself in order to better lead to whatever capacity you're leading, this is where your spiritual growth comes in at. And this is where you learn the reason why you're coming to church, right? Mm. Because a lot of us, we could stay home. If that's the case, you know, it's 2019, 2020 soon. We could all go to Bedside SDA, you know, go on YouTube, live stream and sit in bed. But when you're actually involved and when you're needed somewhere, you have a greater desire to go.
Yes, yes, yes. And and I feel like it's when you are included in the church service, you're included in the church community. And that's what youth and young adults are, especially young adults, especially in the Haitian churches, are looking for. They're looking for that inclusion. They're looking for their voice to be heard. And here's the thing. Yaha is one of those outlets where young adults, especially in the Haitian church, should be allowed to have their voices heard and have their issues talked about and feel the climate of what's going on in their community and their local church. And something that I hope that we continue to get better at, in the sense of we include them in the conversation, we have them active in the conversation, and we no longer put it on something like a quick fix. Because that's why I feel like they always say it's a language thing. Because then it goes back to the argument that they like to say, which is, it starts at home. It starts at home, which is true. It does start at home. Mm-hmm. But it seems like they like to point fingers at, like, oh, this family didn't teach this kid Creole the way it was supposed to be. So that's why they left. And it's like, not really. It's the fact that we need to have a great family dynamic. That's true. But when they bring their child to church, they are expecting that church to be another family. accepting them and welcoming them. So,
right.
So we'll get back to the interview with Sister Alexander in just a moment. I just wanted to take this time to remind everybody about Impact in Indianapolis, Indiana, in the United States, June 25th to July 4th. There's an awesome program for youth, well, primarily young adults from ages 18 to 35, that is being put together by the GC Youth Department. And all you have to do to register is go to youth.adventist.org/impact. That's youth.adventist.org/impact. So register as soon as possible because early bird is ending December 1st. So that's very, very soon. Also, I want to remind everybody that if you have any suggestions, any feedback, any guests that you would like me to interview, any thoughts that you want to give, just follow me on Instagram at youth_mentor101. That's youth_mentor101, where you can find my content there. Also, you can find the link tree in the bio will bring you to the podcast where you can send a rating or a review, and you can reach all my social media, and you can feel free to reach out to me on any of those platforms. I would love to hear from you. Now back to the interview.
What do you think about that?
I agree. I believe that whenever we, well, I won't say whenever, but most of the time when we as a church, it gets pulled out saying the church could have done more or the church should have done more, we always bring it back to home. And the issue is we really don't know what's going on in everyone's home. Mm. Everyone's home is different. Yes, at church, we'll put on our Sabbath's best. We'll dress the best. We'll speak the best. We'll be perfect. But yes. Once Sabbath is over, we don't know what's really happening in that person's home. You know, you have a lot of us who, you know, you would look at a particular family and think that they got it all together, but there's no devotion going on at home. There's no prayer life. Like, so we really don't know, which is why I don't like that argument saying that it starts from home, because we just don't know what's happening at home. Our responsibility at the church is to kind of, I would say, let's say reinforce, because maybe it is happening at home. And we come to church and we reinforce it. And I think because since we're the Haitian culture is I want to say, I use tough, but we're thick skinned. You know, when we look at our parents, it's in the blood. We know that we're naturally strong and hard people. Now, the problem that I have with that, in a sense, is that a lot of times our at home, our parents, they could be very cruel, but it's out of love, if that makes sense, right? Like, I'm like, not condemning it, nor am I saying it's right, you know, because I don't like that idea, but this is just the reality, in a sense. So when you have a young person who they're really, you know, we know young people like to ask why, you know, you say, okay, come, let's pray. Why? Because I said so, you know, or you have to read your Bible. You have to do this. There's always a why. And when they now feel forced at home without any reasoning, you know, or in their head as to, well, why am I doing this? And you get to church, it's the same thing. Like, well, you have to read your Bible because you're in church. You have to listen to the sermon because you're in church. You know, they get closed off. And what happens is, as they grow older, a number of things could happen. You have some who do their own research, who, you know, within their own research, begin to accept why and things like that. You have others who rebel completely and turn away and just want nothing to do with anything. And then you have others, because they're questioning so much, that they end up either going to other religions, studying different kind of practices. I know the African spirituality is really big right now. You know, they fall into a number of things. So where I do believe that it comes from home, I believe that at home, it should all begin with, like I said, love, a place of love and a place of compassion. And I think once that happens at home, it'll carry over a little easier, but I still do feel as a church, we do have a responsibility where, okay, you're not getting this from home. This is where we come in, and let me try to kind of fill in those gaps as much as I can, because as a church, we cannot fill in every gap, and we cannot support everyone's individual needs to a certain extent.
I love it. It's I think it's just, which is the word I want to talk to you about, which is this word, which I've been talking a lot about with youth and young adults. And that word is intentionality. And that is, we have to start planning our introduction of Christ, our programs, our events with this intention in mind that we are going to use, we're going to have a program, not just to have a program for program's sake,
right,
which is, I think, very detrimental in youth and young adult, especially in youth ministry, where we just say,
absolutely,
we're gonna have a Yaha because we have one every year, or we're gonna have a Yaha because we have it every 2 years, and we're gonna have seminars because we have seminars, we're gonna have a parade because we have parades, instead of saying, why are we having a parade? Are we touching that community? Is this a community that will be receptive to a parade? Does having a parade in the Saturday afternoon make sense? Will people be seeing this? Will it draw people to come in? And if they do come in, what are we going to do for them? Are we going to give them Steps to Christ books? Are we going to have an open auditorium for them to visit and talk, and we'll introduce them to Christ? The seminars, are we going to talk about depression? Why are we going to be talking about depression? Oh, is it because youth and young adults are experiencing it today in their churches and they're really talking about it? Like, I think that's what we have to start doing. And
absolutely.
And also bring that to the home church, where we say, listen, we're losing youth and young adults at the clip of 60%. That means we're going to be extinct in a couple of years. So that means we have to start being intentional from cradle roll all the way to collegiate Sabbath school. And in between there, we're going to be making, fostering, and empowering youth leaders so that they are active by the time they reach the collegiate level. They will be able to run the church, whether they make mistakes or not, so that they will be active in the church because they will be the church.
Right. So, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, everything. I mean, if we really want to talk, you know, speak about it, being intentional in everything that you do is kind of like that foundation for success. You know, whether it be at church, whether it be at work, whether it be in school, everything you do in life, you need to be intentional about it. And in the terms of Yaha, I believe that's why the banquet turned out well, where many people enjoyed the banquet. Because when the banquet was being planned, it was like, okay, this is Yaha. What is our theme? We want our theme to be Haiti, like a trip back in time. So everything we planned going into the program at the banquet was intentional. But it was also, you know, educational, where we had Haitian art, you know, but we made it interactive. Had a piece of Haitian art, try to draw the picture within your table, we'll vote, something fun. We had a thing where, what's a common Haitian proverb that you've heard? You know, these are things where although these things may not necessarily be Christian-based, quote unquote, the point of the banquet was looking at the Haitian culture as a whole. You know, we not only are we Adventists, but we're also Haitian Adventists. So when we take that to learn about the culture, people walked away enjoying it. You know, saying, I didn't know that, you know, this particular piece was there for this particular reason. Or I never heard of that proverb before. I'm going to start using that. You know, it brings a form of education and you walk away with something. And I think when we plan events like Yaha or even things like Youth Days and, you know, even youth crusades or whatever we're doing, you need to figure out, what is it that I want these people to walk away with? And once you're able to answer that question, you'll better be able to build whatever you're building, as opposed to just doing it because I know I have to have a youth day every, I know I need to do AY every week, right? But every week, what is it that I want the youth to walk away with? Or for that month or however you plan it, what is it that I want people to walk away with? Just like our preachers, when they're, when, you know, they're preparing their sermons, it's that, what do I want the congregation to walk away with? It's all the same. Now, once we start planning just to plan and putting things together, just to put it together and piece it together, and nothing makes sense. And I believe once that starts happening, this is when you start to see the decrease, because people are no longer interested to come. Why am I going?
Yes, yes.
You know, like, let's say Oshkosh. We know Oshkosh, not everybody, like me personally, I'm not a camper. But from the outside looking in, I see what that hype is about around Oshkosh, because it's intentionally planned, right?
That's right.
From the music down to the acting, down to the parades, everything is intentionally planned where it makes you want to come out. It has nothing to do with it being every five. That has nothing to do with it. It's because I know when I go, I'm walking away with something greater.
That's right.
And once we bring that back into everything, whether it be Yaha, conventions, whatever it is that we're doing, we'll see that increase, because now people actually want to come because they're looking forward to whatever they're going to learn.
Awesome. Awesome. I love it. And I don't know if you agree with this, but this is my view on it as well, is that the main way to make sure that you're doing that is talking to your young people, knowing your young people, visiting your young people, knowing the climate of Yaha, knowing what's going on. And I think it should be, you know, the pastors should know what's happening in their local churches, and then conference staff should be knowing what's happening within their conferences, and union staff knowing what's happening in their unions. So when we meet together as a whole body, whether it be divisional or general conference level, basically we know what's happening. We know how to serve our people. We know what they're hungry for. We know how to facilitate that. And we visited the people. We know what they're going through. And I think that's a main way to make sure it stays intentional. If you don't know your young people, then you don't know how to start the conversation, basically.
Yes, I agree with you 1,000%. I mean, it brings it back to what I said in the beginning. I wish the young people had more of a voice. And the only way that voice will be heard is by reaching out. And not only reaching out in conjunction to what you're saying, it's one thing to reach out, but when you do reach out and you do get that feedback, listen. Right? Don't just talk and get feedback just to say, I got feedback, and just to say, well, I reached out to the young people. And no. Hear them out. Understand what they're saying and actually apply what they need, because people could always reach out.
Yes.
You know, Eric, what do you want to see happen next year? Oh, I would love if this happens. Okay, great. Thanks. Hey, I got feedback. Okay. When it comes time to plan it, they do the complete opposite.
Wow.
You know, so part of what you're saying, I agree 100%, but even further than that, once you get that feedback and once you do reach out, listen and apply.
Wow. Awesome. Awesome. I love it. Listen and apply. It's like, and because once you do listen and you do apply, that young person feels heard, and they feel like they're active.
There's that inclusion.
Yes.
And there's inclusion.
They're included. They're included. They're part of the conversation.
Right. And now they feel the need to go, because it's like, hey, I have a say in this. Let me go and see how that turns out. And then they'll bring their friends and their friends. And then you start to see that growth. And it all started because you listened.
Wow. Wow.
You know, it all started because you listened and someone heard what was happening. You know, when we look at Jesus's ministry, people ran because they heard he was in town.
Yes.
Right? It had nothing to do with, oh, let me see his miracles. I need to see it for myself. No, it was just a word. I heard this man is down there, you know, doing all types of crazy stuff. Let me go see what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the same thing that's going to happen in the church. Like, look, that's why certain churches are doing better than most to a certain extent, because, let's say, disclaimer, every church has their issues, right? No matter how big or small, every church has their issues, but you have some that are doing a little bit better than others because their youth are so involved and because their youth are so into what's happening and they're being heard, right? And that's a problem that we see that's happening with a lot of our churches, because we're hearing, oh, they're young people. What do the young people know? If we don't know anything, we're not, we need to be guided, right? We need to be guided and we need to be taught. So if you're telling me, you know, like as a coordinator, you know, some of my churches, you know, because that's the first thing I ask is when I go to, you know, my churches and see what's going on, I say, look, tell me about your young people. What's happening? Oh, they're not interested and they don't know anything. And well, what did you teach them? If they don't know anything, what did you teach them? Because the thing is, when you're dealing with young people, you have to look at it as a baby. When a child is born, a baby is born, they know nothing. All they know is to cry for food. And even to cry for food, it's taught over time. It's like, hey, if I cry, I get food. Yes. Hey, if I cry, my pamper gets changed. So they make that connection. So the, you know, anything else that you teach that kid, whether it be language, how to speak, how to walk, how to run, it's all taught. So if you're telling me that the young people don't know anything, you're basically telling me that you failed this generation because you didn't teach them.
Wow.
Now, you don't need to teach them everything. There's obviously things you have to go out there and learn on your own, learn through experiences, et cetera, et cetera. But the foundation of things, just God's love, right? If you're telling me that they don't know anything, you're telling me that I'm taking it literally like, well, they don't know anything about God's love then. If you're telling me that they don't know anything, you have failed this generation.
Wow.
And you have failed them as a leader. And this is why, oh, well, you know, if we stop, who's going to replace and who's going to this? Once again, you failed as a leader because you have nobody to replace you. You're not teaching.
Wow. You just laid the hammer down. And I love it. Oh, my goodness. That is so awesome and powerful. And this was a great episode. I think that anyone who hears it can bring this back to their church and be intentional to listen to their young people, include them, and, you know, let apply the feedback, let them fail, and let them learn so that they can have experience.
So
I thank you so much for coming on to this podcast.
For having
Yes, I will continue to pray for you and your ministry. But as I usually do on this podcast, I leave it to the guests to give some words of encouragement. So to any young adult or youth leader in the Haitian church that wants to instill intentionality in their church, what motivational words and words of encouragement can you give to them?
Keep going. I mean, I've come from a mighty, mighty long way. And I think one of the only things that kept me going is knowing that one day things will get better. You know, so if I were to say anything to anyone, which, you know, I often do, is really don't give up, and there's always a solution. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, how bad it seems, I could almost always guarantee that it's going to get better with time. So just keep going, keep your head up, and just believe. You know, believe that greater is coming, and it will.